If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're looking at verses 4 to 10. My title today is Knowing Your Identity. Everybody say, Knowing Your Identity. All right. Knowing your identity is important. If you travel overseas, you have to know who you are. And that knowledge has to match up with your passport. Yep. That's personal identity, but then there's another idea of knowing your identity that has to do with self-image, which is how we think about ourselves. Sadly, we get much of our information that way from the mirror, or what our friends think, or what our parents may have said to us growing up. By the way, your self-image can also come from the things you own, or the things you expect from your life. It's amazing how many things we allow to impact us that we allow to see ourselves through that. In the verses we're going to look at today in 1 Peter 2, Peter wants us to understand, though, our identity when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Though we have all sinned, we as believers, those who have made their testimony in Christ, we have been made new in Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10 today, Peter is reminding us of who we are in Jesus. Church, we have to know our identity in Jesus. And the reason is because Jesus is the foundation of our new identity. Everybody say that with me. Jesus is the foundation of our new identity. In the previous verses that Peter was reminding us, he's saying, you should live differently because you've tasted and seen how good the Lord is. And now Peter is continuing in that discussion, but now he's adding the reason that we should live differently, reminding us that we are new people. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verses 4 to 6. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, and Peter's drawing, I believe, from Isaiah when he quotes this, he says, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion being the church, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. In this passage, Peter calls Jesus the living stone. Now, you have to take a moment and contrast that with what the opposite would be, a dead stone or a statue that so many other religions have built that they worship. Church, we do not follow a God who is only remembered by a monument. Church, we follow a living Savior. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, today we celebrate your Son and our risen Savior. Lord, we ask today that you would hear us and help us to understand our identity in you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Church, when we think of Jesus as the living stone, what we really need to do is think of him as the vital stone. If we're really going to have a proper understanding of who we are in Christ, we need to understand how vital Jesus is to our life, what the vital piece that he adds to our life. Our value, our purpose are drawn now from our relationship to him. We are of the family of Jesus Christ. We belong to him. That's why we were baptized into his name. Baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And today we find our significance in God, our Savior. Peter reminds us, by the way, the church is not a building that sits on a piece of property. The church is people. You do not go to church, you are the church. And remember that the head of the church is who? Jesus Christ. And our identity as the people of God and as individuals is tied to that relationship in Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us there are only two responses to Christ, only two things we can choose. Listen to verse 7 and 8. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. How many have found Jesus to be precious in your life? Yes. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. He continues, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. I believe the point Peter really is making here is that we cannot be indifferent about Christ. You either become part of his building or part of his life, or you stumble over him. Peter says there's only two responses to Jesus. There are those who trust in Jesus or receive the offer of salvation. And as a result, they are made new. These people will not be put to shame because they've embraced Christ. They've allowed Christ to take hold of them. And there's a change that begins to happen. And it becomes evident in their life that they are changed because of their encounter with Jesus Christ. And then there are those who reject the offer of salvation. They tend to stumble over the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believe they can make their own way, and they will make their own way to destruction. God's word is clear that those who reject the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they stumble and fall. Those who disobey the message of repenting and believing and following Jesus will face God's eternal punishment one day. Church, there's no other choice than Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We must embrace him as the risen and perfect Savior and Lord of our life. We either will become a passionate follower of Christ or we will reject him. Half-hearted discipleship is not an option. Church is reject or receive. And those who believe and follow Jesus receive a new identity in him. Listen again to verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Those who really trust in Jesus find a radical shift in their self-esteem. I didn't build it, but he builds it within me. We see ourselves differently now. We see ourselves through the eyes of God. We see ourselves through the love of God. Listen to how Peter describes it when he says, we are like living stones. He says, you too, like living stones. First thing Peter really is saying is, followers, we begin to resemble the living stone who is Jesus. Church, we are part of God's great building project. It's all because God pulled us from the pit of sin, and now he is chiseling away things that do not need to be there. Pastor Raymond, would you help me out this morning? Right there on the front pew, I need you to bring those items up with you. You got them all? Doing well. Don't you love being a helper? All right. I'm going to let you be the living stone for a moment. And God has to chisel things away from our lives. Now, remember, what did we talk about last 2 weeks ago, actually? We talked about things like malice, right? And slander. We talked about deceit, hypocrisy, envy. And what it is, God is shaping us and chiseling us as a living stone, okay? But it is the working away of those things in our life that do not need to be there. And if we're going to be the living stone and placed where He wants us, we need to allow Him to change us however He sees fit. He is the shaper. In fact, the Bible uses the illustration, He is the potter. I am the what? And He does what to us? Molds us as He sees fit. God is reshaping us actually into the image not of a rock, but of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I'm going to leave these here as reminders so you don't forget He's working on you. Amen? God is bringing us as individuals together to create something special. When I look at all this brickwork, these were all molded and then fit together so it could become a structure that would fulfill a purpose. We are part of God's great redemption work. And many times we can't see what God is doing or how He's moving. But let me tell you this, you can be certain that we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Here's how the Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians 2. He says, consequently, the result of, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation, right, of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the what? Chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building, you see us as a building, the body, not the structure that we're sitting in, you. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. That's why when you go to work, you are taking the temple of the Holy Spirit into that place, knowing that there is a body of believers with you. You don't have to do everything. You just do your part. In verse 22, and in Him, you too, you also, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. As children of God, we are now part of a team. We're being put together so God can use us together. I think of all the different giftings that God has sent to this church, whether musicians or teachers or caregivers, whatever that might be, each one doing their part causes us to be able to fulfill the purpose that God has called us to in each of the communities we are in. Our roles might be different on this team, but each role is important. Again, Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 says, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Church, God wants His people healthy. He wants His church growing. He wants His body full of love. But we're doing it together. That's what makes us healthy. That's what causes us to grow. That's what allows us to release the love of God to the world around us. Listen to verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, where we see more about our identity in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. I don't know if you really heard that, but we are a chosen people. Let me ask you this. Were you ever one of those people who were picked last on the team or activity that was going to happen? Yeah, I was. I was a scrawny thing growing up. Church, that's not how it is with God. Peter says we were chosen. God picked you. Not because He had to, but because He wanted to. The word actually chosen here in the Greek is the Greek word ekletos, meaning the best of its kind, the most excellent. God chooses the most excellent thing, the best of the kind. In fact, it's the same word used earlier in verse 4 when speaking of Jesus, when he said, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but what? Chosen by God, choosing the best, and it's precious to him. The Father knows how precious his Son is to him, and he feels the same way about you as you come become children. You're the best. You're the best at what God wants you to do. Listen, other voices may be critical and call you worthless, but you need to know that God calls you his special possession. You are chosen. He picked you. He picked me. We are not leftovers. Amen. We are a chosen people, called out of darkness into his marvelous or wonderful light. Not only that, he says, we are a royal priesthood. Do you understand it was the priests that were to offer up prayers? It was the priests that were to offer up sacrifices. It was the priests who were to encourage the people to consider the spiritual part of their life. Church, we have to remember, God has called us to be ambassadors to a lost and dying world. We think about it. We have the privilege of introducing others to the Lord of life. On top of that, we've been granted access to God the Father, both for ourselves and on behalf of others, as we were this morning. Like, we can pray for others. It's like someone who's been granted access to the Queen or to the President of the United States, that it reveals that person is a person of significance. They have great identity because they have access. Church, you are significant. You have been granted access to the God of the universe, the God of all time, the God who has no beginning and no end. Church, understand, not only are we this royal priesthood that is allowed to go to God and be there on behalf of other people. Church, we have got to take hold of who we are and our identity. But not only that, we are a people belonging to God. The disciple John writes it this way early on in his very first chapter of writing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He hits it right off the dot. He says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. In Galatians, Paul says it this way, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 29, he says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. We're going all the way back to the promise. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Church, we have value. It's not because of our personal accomplishments. It's because of our relationship with the Lord of life. We are a people belonging to God. Another thought in verse 10. He says, we are recipients of a great mercy. Listen to verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Church, before we can really appreciate, I think, what we've been given in Christ, we need to understand what we really did deserve. Let me clarify it. The Bible says that sin is an offense to God. And Romans 3:23 tells us, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. If God is holy, 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 when do you ever think that you will arrive at His level? So at whatever level you're under that, you have sinned. And sinning, remember, is missing the mark. We are called to be something, and it's not the activity, it's that we're not on target. God says, worship me, I am the only God. And we get off target, therefore, as soon as we do, we sin. And because of that, Romans 6:23, we're told, for the wages of sin is death. That means spiritual death. I know it's hard to hear the truth, but death is what you and I deserve because of our sin. We deserve to die and be separated from God eternally because we were lost in sin. But I'm so glad that Jesus found us. Amen? Paul continues to write, but the free gift, what is it? Free gift, though. Do you get that? The free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where our identity is. John Newton, he understood both his sin condition and the amazing grace of God when he wrote these words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. In fact, many churches, believe it or not, have changed that word because it made them sound so bad, they said, someone like me. Church, if we don't understand our condition, we don't understand the mercy that we've been given. We don't understand the love of God. That's most people's problem. They don't even know that they're missing God. They don't understand because they're trying to find their identity here instead of in God. John Newton knew he deserved God's wrath, but was given amazing grace. Church, we are recipients of a great mercy. And it's because of that mercy that we are now children of the King of the universe. We belong to a family. I don't know what your family's like, and as I meet with different people, I know there are family struggles, but church, we are of the family of God. We are part of His work in our lives. We are valuable, not because of what we've achieved or done or accomplished, but we are valuable because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, again, 8 and 9 says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. God is at work in you. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Church, we're now living for the glory of God. We've surrendered our lives to His purpose. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Early in verse 5, again, Peter said we should spend our lives offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Several New Testament passages, I believe, give clarity to what Peter is saying here. Romans 12:1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. I want you got to remember that. Following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. What was a pleasing aroma to God? That He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice. Church, we're to love God and love others. If you want to smell good to God, then you need to begin to understand your identity in Him. And if He is love, you become love. And offer ourselves living. Hebrews, listen, 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Doing what? Proclaiming our allegiance to His name. Church, if we know who we truly are in Christ, then we will serve Him with all that we have and all that we are. Knowing your identity in Jesus and knowing that changes the way we view ourselves. We find out, yes, our value is tied to now who we are in Jesus Christ, though He is still shaping me and forming me and creating me. And now instead of seeing my flaws, I see my potential. Knowing your identity in Jesus is what helps us get up each day ready to serve the Lord with gladness. Because I know He has a purpose today for me. Let me close with this passage. Psalm 118, verse 22 says, "The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." Verse 23, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see." And then the Holy Spirit helps the psalmist pen these next words, which read, "This is the day the Lord has made." God made a day for the cornerstone to be laid, and to be laid in your life. This is the day of salvation. And God put that into action, that Jesus would become the cornerstone of God followers, giving each of us purpose and identity in Him again. See, it began in the womb that way because we were made by God. But somewhere along the way, the things of this world, the enemy that we face, causes us to look at the world and the things of the world. In fact, they were all offered to Jesus, if you remember. He said, "Listen, if you just, you know, turn the stone into bread, you can do that." And Jesus could. He said, "If you just throw yourself down, the angels will take care of you. And finally, if you'll just worship me," Satan said. But Jesus knew His identity. "My identity is not in the working of miracles. It's in God and listening to the voice of God and doing what He wants when He wants." And by the way, it's not about showing off what God can do. It's just being available for when God wants to do what He wants to do. And by the way, it was never about worshiping Satan. It was about knowing your identity and who made you. Because we're told that Jesus in the womb was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. Listen for a moment. You have been born again. And the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is now in you. We have a new identity. And now, given our purpose, given our identity, now with the psalmist, we can exclaim, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." In what God is doing, in what God planned, in what God set, that cornerstone, I want to be landed on it and find my place in the kingdom as He builds us together. Church, we know and we're confident, I hope, of what God has done in our lives. That's why I want you to give your testimony. I want others to hear of the goodness and the greatness of God in your life. And it's all through Jesus saying, "My allegiance is to Him." He gave us identity. And you can rejoice and be glad in that. today, some of you may not be there. Maybe you haven't found your identity in Christ today because you haven't received Him. There's only two choices. You'll either receive Him or you'll reject Him. If you receive Him, you'll find new identity. If you reject Him, you'll only continue to stumble and fall, searching for what you think you're looking for. But it's all in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads for a moment? I want you to know Jesus is the vital piece that maybe you've been missing. And this morning, just in your heart, if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, or maybe things have come along in your life and have derailed you from following Christ, and today you say, you know what, I want my identity to be in Him. I want to stay on the tracks. I want to get back my life in God. If that's you this morning, you just slip your hand up and nobody's looking around. I'm the only one. Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone else? You can put yes, sir. Is there anyone? Yes, sir. I just want to make sure we've got it going right today. Because that identity is going to lead us into our future. For these that's lifted their hands and all of us, I think it's always healthy to reset the reset button every once in a while. And reclaiming who we are in Christ. So with all of these, would you just pray with me and say, Heavenly Father, today by faith, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I ask Him to be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I give you my allegiance today. I declare it, Jesus is Lord of my life. To you be the glory, I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, we have got to really walk in this identity. Not to belinger this, and I've said it week after week, and as I keep bouncing into further of Peter, in fact, 2 Peter, so vital for us to hear today, and I don't want to rush through it, but church, your identity in Jesus in the coming days, it's going to be so important for you to know it, and to know where your allegiance really lies, because you are going to be challenged. There are things going on in the courts, many of you know about them. It's going to challenge the church and where she will stand. It's going to challenge you individually. But I'm telling you, the Word of God said this was going to happen. So don't be disillusioned because you go, well, I thought the church was about us meeting together. No, the church is about you meeting with God. The church is about you knowing Him. And I believe the church ought to get together. And could I encourage you? We had a meeting this week. We're trying to even grow more small groups. You need to stay connected. I'm telling you, one day we're not going to be able to do what we're doing today. How are we going to meet? How are we going to connect? Because we're going to know each other. We're going to fellowship together. We'll meet house to house if we have to. Does that sound like the early church? I'm not trying to be the early church. I'm trying to understand who we need to be in this day as the church. So know your identity. You're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's special possession. You belong to God, all because you've been given great mercy. So church, live with that. You know what? Get on board and tell others, you know what? I've rededicated, I've resurrendered. You know what? I'm gonna start devoting my life not just in thought, but in action. Amen. Heavenly Father, be with us, strengthen us, help us. Lord, strengthen us in our identity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. have a Jesus-filled week, and I know He'll be with you.